Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Going to get into a topic on loving our children, because we've been talking about education lately and training our children and what, you know, we should teach children and a whole bunch of things dealing with children. But there was an event that basically it was a shot or the twerk heard around the world the other day, and it was with some young woman was doing an audacious display on stage at an award show, and there was a lot of people saying, you know, some of our people got mad and said, you know, they stealing twerking from us like they stole rock and roll from us, like they stole this or that. And, you know, and that's a really evil and wicked way to look at it, because, but we're going to get into it. But the thing is, her father said something. And I want to read, there's a little article, of course, off the internet, because that's where I just so happen to get my news. But it says, nothing, not even a little twerking, can break Miley Cyrus's bond with her dad. Billy Ray Cyrus has broken his silence on his daughter's instantly infamous spectacle at the Video Awards. Okay? And let's see what he said. Of course, I'll always be there for her. Can't wait to see her when she gets home. She's still my little girl, and I'm still her dad, regardless how the circus we call show business plays out. I love her unconditionally, and that will never change. Well, is that how we love our kids?
Nope.
Okay. No. Okay. So, first of all, let's go to Hebrews 13 and read verse 4. We're going to see what those type of displays are reserved for, or if they're even legitimate according to the word of the Lord.
Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Okay, so it's saying marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Then it makes an exception. You know, everything except marriage, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So, if you ain't married according to the words of the Lord, then you are an adulterer and a whoremonger, or both. but it says here, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. So, whatever a man and a woman together as a unit in Christ, as the head of a family unit in Christ, decide to do in their intimate, closed off from the public situations of displays of affection, that's on them.
Yeah.
But if you are a young woman putting a sexual display on in front of or very, very, like about a quarter of an inch away from a married man, that makes you an adulteress.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody saw that. Oh, they stole twerking from us like they stole rock and roll 60 years ago. Oh, she ain't got enough meat to twerk. Oh, that, no, she was putting on an adulterous display.
Yep.
So, and her father said, oh, that's okay. I love her. So let's look at if that is the love that we're supposed to have for our children, according to the Bible. Okay? How does a parent really love their child? Let's go to Proverbs 13, because we're going to look at where the scriptures say and note a difference between loving and hating a child. Okay, so we encourage everyone that's listening to take out a pen, paper, write these scriptures down, have your Bibles out, go over with them. We're sorry if we move too fast, but that's why we want you to write them down so you can go over these scriptures in your spare time. All right. Proverbs 13:24.
He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes.
Okay, so if you hate your son, you're going to spare the discipline, the rod.
Yep.
The rod of correction.
Mm-hmm.
But he that loveth his child or his son chasteneth betimes, meaning will discipline, guide, correct him betimes, meaning often. Okay? So that's the difference. If you say, you know what, you just, for no reason, walking by Mrs. Smith's house and just picked up a brick and threw for her from her window, threw it right through her window, it's going to cost her $400 to replace, but it's okay, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't, and then telling her, the lady that suffered the loss, that your kid ain't did nothing wrong and don't talk to my kid, you know, that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
You sparing that discipline from that child, you what? Hating that child.
Exactly.
And if you're not even there to provide guidance and discipline for that child, you're hating that child. Also, because we've been talking about that a lot lately, too. That's hatred for that child. All right? So, did you have something real quick? Or
no, not yet.
Okay, not yet?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now, if you love your child and your child walks down the street past Mrs. Smith's house, or Miss Smith's house, and for no reason picks a brick up and throws it through the window and it costs $400 damage,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be repercussions for that.
Exactly.
You know, okay, you got to get a job to pay this off. You're going to apologize to her. How about you trim her hedges for the next 4 years? Or whatever it is, there's got to be some repercussions because a child has to be shown that, listen, there are things that you do that have good results and things that you do that have bad results.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what they should have an understanding of as they're raised up. So let's read Proverbs 23.
Okay.
And where is it? I'm at 22. Here it is. Proverbs 23:13.
All right. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die.
Wait a minute. This ain't talking about you come home from work, the boss cursed you out or whatever. You just ain't feeling good. Or you bought a 40 on the way home from work, and when you got out the store, you drop it and broke it, and you ain't have enough money to get another one. So now you pissed off, and you come home, and the kid just, you know, mispronounced something or did bad on his homework and you beat the tire out. That's not talking about that. That's not talking about that. It says the correction, the discipline, the guidance. Withhold not that. Don't withhold that or don't keep that from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. It's talking about not in malice, not in anger, not in abuse. It's talking about as a way to have him understand that there are results and repercussions, consequences for his actions.
Exactly.
Okay? Read verse 14.
Proverbs 23:14. thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell.
But how are you going to deliver his soul from hell? By beating him in order to guide him according to how he should live. How can you save his soul from hell?
You're saving his soul from hell because you're teaching him what the scripture says to avoid mm-hmm. that punishment at mm-hmm. the end.
Right, because what is that, Proverbs 55?
I was going to read Ecclesiastes 12.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
So uh-huh. I'll read Ecclesiastes. I should read that from Ecclesiastes 12, read uh-huh. 13 and 14.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Okay, so I know I read the scripture all the time, and there's a reason for it, because it basically says it right here. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for mm-hmm. this is the whole duty of man.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole reason why we were created on the earth in the first place is to fear God and to keep his
mm-hmm.
commandments.
Yep.
So if you are a parent, mm-hmm. guess what you have to instill in your child? Fear God and keep his commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why? Because God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So there's going to be a day that we're all going to be judged by that man, Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Yep.
For everything that we've done. So we have to teach our children those things.
Exactly.
So back in Proverbs, when it says, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're doing. We're teaching our children what the scriptures say to avoid that evil judgment at the end and to avoid that destruction of hell.
Exactly. And then also to avoid judgments or punishments before he gets back.
Yep.
Before he gives us that final judgment.
Exactly.
You know, like, okay, I just caught a case.
Mm-hmm.
How you catch a case? Was somebody throwing cases around like a football or something? And I just mind my own business, walking home from the store, you know, and are they throwing cases around? You know what? I'm going to run down the street and catch this case with one hand, Lynn Swan, Plexico Burris style. One hand, real pretty and everything. I just caught it. Now it's my case.
Nope.
It takes a desire to want to do something evil to catch that judgment.
Exactly.
All right. So if you teach your kid, your child, and correct the child on matters that where the Bible says they need the correction,
mm-hmm.
so that they understand, listen, you know what? These cats want to put together their money as a bunch of young men and buy some stuff and stand on the corner and sell it. They're my friends, but I don't want to do that, and I don't want to be around that because my parents taught me the consequences
yeah.
of that, either, what's the word, crippled,
mm-hmm.
in jail, or dead
yep.
is the consequence of that, and that consequence comes from the Lord.
Exactly.
Okay? So that is what the correction and the beating and stuff is for. All right. Let's go to Proverbs 19.
Okay.
And read verse 18.
Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying.
Okay. Chasten thy son. So chasten means to correct by punishment, also discipline. So that doesn't mean that every time the kid does something bad, they get the tire beat out of them or the snot beat out of them. That means, well, you know what? Listen, you're not doing well enough in school because you're not paying attention. I can see how when you do your homework, you ain't really focused on it, because after the 2 hours of homework, you want to go outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what we're going to do? We're going spend the whole day on homework as necessary till you get this stuff right.
Yeah.
Because so you on restrictions. That's that punishment. And why is that punishment coming? The child has to understand, not through threatenings and angry yellings, but they have to understand that this is because you're not doing what you're supposed to.
Exactly.
So if the child has a problem with anger or something like that, you know, let's say anger, for example, they have to be disciplined and guided to understand that they should not go into anger. Like, this is what you're doing when you're angry for no cause. This is what the Bible says. So, and this goes into the next part of this sentence. Chasten thy son while there is hope. While there is hope for what?
Hope for them to make a change.
Yeah. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. So, listen, I need to go. I remember one time I didn't want to do this project. It was due on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 3 months prior.
Uh-huh.
I was like in the fifth grade. Oh, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Mm-hmm. I'm going outside. I'm playing. I'm catching a football one-handed. I'm doing all this, playing, riding bikes, jumping ramps on my bike and all this stuff, making mud pies, you know, throwing mud ball, whatever, doing everything that I was doing back then. All right. Now, the week before the project is due, I got the materials together and stuff, but I just said, eh, you know what? I want to go outside. Okay. Yeah, you can go outside. All right, that last weekend, they had, like, some event, like it was somebody's birthday where they, like, shut down somebody's backyard and they throwing a party or something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is it's a whole weekend long, right?
Uh-huh.
But my project is due Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened?
What?
My mom's was like, nah, you ain't going nowhere, dude. And don't make me go get Pops, because
right. You
know it's no in between with him.
Right.
So, but Ma, let me go out there for 10 minutes. No, you go. Matter of fact, what I'm gonna do for you is clear a spot at this kitchen table right here, because I got some stuff to do in the kitchen. When I'm gonna go in the living room or the dining room, we're gonna clear a spot for you there, so I can keep an eye on you, because you ain't going nowhere, dude. I need to go outside. I'm claustrophobic. And that was four or five syllable words all over the place, man. I'm smart enough, man. Yeah, but you ain't did that project.
Right.
You got to do this. But all along, she was telling me, because a month ago,
mm-hmm.
when you had an hour here,
yep.
2 hours here,
mm-hmm.
and you want to procrastinate, this is what happens when you procrastinate.
Yep.
You know? So that's what it was going. It didn't necessarily mean that I had to get my butt whipped. It meant that I had to be given the understanding.
Exactly.
You know, and now this hope that they might make it, that's good. And let's look at the scriptures, verify that, because the scriptures ordained that we were supposed to teach how to live to our children. Let's go to Psalm 78.
All right. Okay.
Verse 5.
Psalm 78, verse 5.
And just read on.
For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments,
mm-hmm.
and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
Okay, so now we went over recently that we have to speak to the law and the testimony to have the light in us, right? And we all know that the light is Christ.
Yep.
That's Isaiah 8 and 20 and John 8, verse 12.
Yep.
So this testimony and law in Israel, which he commanded to the fathers that they should make them known to their children. What's to them that they should make known to their children? Let me see. It's gonna look here. I think it's Deuteronomy 32 is one.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one there too. Yeah. Now read that one. I think it's 6 or something.
Yeah,
6 and 7?
6 and 7,
yeah. Yep.
I'll start at 6.
Yep.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Mm-hmm. So we were supposed to teach them diligently in verse 7 to our children, but in verse 6, we had to have them in our heart first.
Yep, exactly.
So we had to have an understanding ourselves. So that's that he commanded to our fathers that they should make them, that's the them, that they should make known to their children. Why? That the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be born. We should arise and declare them to their children. Why? Because we were supposed to be looked at as a nation of wise and righteous people.
Yeah.
Right? Where is that? Deuteronomy 12, where it was supposed to be. Or 10.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I found it. I'm mixing up the scriptures real bad. I'm not even reversing the numbers. I'm just mixing them real bad. Deuteronomy 4.
4, okay.
Deuteronomy 4 and 6.
Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Mm-hmm. So we fell off from that, but we were supposed to stick with them because this was supposed to be our wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. To show you how wise these commandments were.
Mm-hmm.
Just about every country on the face of the earth, even today, has ordinances set up according to the commandments in the Bible.
Exactly.
They're going against most of them now, but every country has a law against stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Every country has a law against adultery, well, some forms of adultery.
Right.
Every country has a law against murder.
Yep.
Right? So.
That's true. And you know, another thing, too, is The other nations were supposed to follow after the examples of the Israelites.
Exactly.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're still following after the Israelites because we know the Israelites have been scattered and were
uh-huh.
all over the world in captivity.
Yeah.
And even in the example of what you
uh-huh.
said in the beginning,
yeah.
how
yeah.
people made the comment, oh, they stole twerking from us. That's wicked. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be, okay, they stole something wicked and evil from us. It should be the complete opposite, where they're looking at us, say, okay, man, this person, they got their children, they're raising them
mm-hmm.
up in the scriptures,
yeah.
they're
yeah.
wise, they're understanding, they go to school, they behave,
mm-hmm.
they're not dressing provocatively, they're not twerking, they're not doing any of those
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Exactly.
Not what we're seeing today.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Because, you know, and our people are foolish and have a lack of understanding of the scriptures
mm-hmm.
to such a point that we create evil and then get mad when the other families or nations or whatever, people that don't look like us,
right.
take after that example and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all our sisters and daughters out here twerking, but we get mad when a white girl does it.
Yeah.
All our sons and brothers out here killing each other,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we get mad when a white man does it.
Yep.
That's hypocritical, and people in the media have pointed that out.
Yep, true.
But it's also wicked.
Exactly.
The protest should not happen when a white woman twerks or a white man kills one of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
The protest should be happening when one of our daughters twerks or one of our sons kills somebody that looks just like him.
Yeah.
You know, and that, well, like they say, therein lies the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't want to keep the commandments. We invent wickedness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. So, and it says here back in Psalm 78, that the generation to come was to raise up and teach them to their children, right? And in verse 7 of Psalm 78, it says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So, setting their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Let's look in the New Testament and see if Paul had a different hope. Because remember, Christ was dealing with Paul, you know, mouth to ear. You know, so let's look at Acts 24 and read verse 14.
Okay.
And read on.
Acts chapter 24, you said
Acts 24, verse 14.
Okay.
To 16.
But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
Whoa, hey, wait a minute. That old law is done away with, right?
No,
is that
not
what Paul was saying?
Nope, far from it.
Okay, so he worships the God of his fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. So he believed that the children should be raised up in
yep.
a certain way, right? And he believed that, you know, he shouldn't murder. And, you know, because remember, he basically was a murderer.
Yeah, exactly.
Under the guise of being a righteous man, a so-called Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to come to an understanding of repentance after he got knocked down on the road to Damascus to go snatch up some more people
yep.
that believed in Christ. So he had to repent of that anger,
mm-hmm.
and he had to get an understanding of how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also teaching that type of understanding of repentance
mm-hmm.
to others
yep.
by his belief of everything written in the law and the prophets. Read 15 and 16.
And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust.
Okay, so this is talking about when Christ comes back and establishes the kingdom on earth, as prophesied in one place in Isaiah 2, like 1 through 7, I believe it is, something like that. So he had hope that Christ was going to come back and establish the kingdom with the resurrection of the dead, okay, and then their judgment day,
mm-hmm.
right? But how did he act? Because of his belief.
Verse 16 of Acts 24, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men.
So he's not going to offend God in dealing with God or with men.
Yep.
And he is exercising himself, meaning always trying to make himself stronger in doing that. Because he knows that he has desires, like in Romans 7, that I want to do, I mess up and I don't do it because it's not me, it's the sin that dwells in me. He understood the battle.
Yep.
You know, but this is how, this is how we have to train our children to act, to exercise themselves to get stronger and stronger to not offend God or offend men according to the word of God.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's that hope, because we can't truthfully hope that Christ comes back and establishes the kingdom if we're not doing what Paul was saying.
Mm-hmm.
believing everything written in the Law and the Prophets, and exercising ourselves in that, especially made easier now when clarified by the understanding that Christ brought out and then put the Spirit on the apostles to bring out. Okay. No, you have something?
Yeah, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2.
Okay.
I'm not sure if we're going to go there, but we'll go there.
Uh-huh.
1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to skip around a little bit, just going into how we love our children and bringing out what you just explained here in Acts 24.
Yeah.
So 1 Samuel 2, read verse 12.
1 Samuel 2 and 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, so Eli didn't love them.
Exactly, yep. So the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. The Belial is the devil, an idol. That's what it was. They were sons of the devil. They knew not the Lord, so they didn't keep his commandments. Right? But it was something about these men. These men were set up as priests over in the temple.
Yeah.
Right? Over the Lord's people. Read verse 17.
Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord.
For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. So when you read this in total, what they were doing was when the people were coming to sacrifice and stuff, they used to corrupt the sacrifice. They used to take it for themselves.
Yeah.
So that sin was very great in the eyes of the Lord, and men, the people now, abhorred the offering of the Lord. Right?
Yeah.
Now, stay right here in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and read, 22.
Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Okay, so stop. Now Eli was very old and he heard all that his sons did. So the corrupting of the offerings, and not only that, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So
can I say it? That sounds like a modern pastor.
Bottom line, that's what it is. That's what they were sleeping with the women of the in the congregation. Bottom line. And you know the funny thing is? It shows you that there's nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times, you know, we like to look at these things and say, oh my God, what the hell is this? You know, the world is so corrupt. World is coming to an end, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we know we're living in the last
days. Yeah, exactly.
But it's the people have been doing the same wickedness for years. Just like what we're reading here, these men were set up as priests, and they were sleeping with the women that was coming to the congregation, also corrupting the sacrifice. That would be no different from pastors today also taking money from the people and using it to what, buy big houses, planes, stuff like that. That's what they were doing. So Eli heard all these things about his sons and what they were doing. And the thing is, he didn't deal with them correctly. He didn't. He said something to them, but he didn't do it right. He didn't correct them the right way, and the Lord is going to correct him for that. So skip down to verse 27, 1 Samuel 2, 27.
Okay. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?
Stop for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What did we read in Psalm 78?
That he established a law and a testimony in Israel and Jacob that they were supposed to train their son.
Exactly, and teach them how all the great things that the Lord did unto our fathers when they came out of Egypt, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
This man here was supposed to do the same thing, no different from us today. We should be doing the same thing as well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've said a couple minutes ago he didn't love them, but that was actually wrong because he did try to correct them.
Right.
In 24 and 25.
Yeah.
He was telling them, listen, you ain't got no man to entreat for you if you sin against the Lord.
Exactly.
If y'all can't do this, But it says that they didn't listen to the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them.
Exactly.
So that's the consequence.
Yep,
exactly. And he was trying to get them to understand that, but they wouldn't listen.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
So read 28 and 29.
Okay. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me.
Stop.
Uh-huh.
Can you read that part again?
Okay.
And from the and?
And mine offering, and honorest thy sons above me.
Stop.
So Eli should have had them removed.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And, you know, it goes to the point.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because that's what a lot of parents do. Their kids can do the most heinous of a crime.
I was looking at that on the internet this morning. This dude killed 6 people in a drug-induced rage. Oh, my son never hurt nobody. He's my little baby. And I just... Y'all shouldn't put him in jail. They should give him the death penalty because he just... No. For whatever circumstance you tried to do what you did, but he made a choice.
Exactly.
That's like, I read, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer's father wrote a book.
I didn't know he wrote a book. I saw an interview with him, but I didn't know he wrote a book.
After the interview, he wrote a book, and it was about how parents struggle with children that do stuff like Jeffrey Dahmer did.
Wow.
And there were parents that were saying, listen, it was another parent, the mother, said, listen, he did not do this according to what we taught him. He did this contrary to what we taught him. So, you know, you try,
right.
But there's a point where, yeah, that's my son, but. You know, I don't agree with none of that. You can't be around me.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing. So we got to understand, if we're doing that, if we're justifying our children's evil, wicked deeds that's going against the commandments of God, guess what we're doing? We're honoring and we're putting our children above the Lord.
That's
because they're
point.
Going against the scriptures and they're going against the Lord. So we're making them above and beyond the one that made us.
Exactly.
That's what this man did.
Exactly.
And the Lord corrected him. Eli, what are you doing? You honoring your son above me? Didn't I bring your fathers out of, from under Pharaoh and under all the Egyptians and stuff?
Uh-huh.
And you're putting them above me? That's what it is. And that's what a lot of parents are doing.
Exactly. Because he did, you know, he tried to correct them.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
But, you know, he did show them that love, but after a certain point, that chastising, that discipline,
right.
it should have went to the next level as they continued. So it turns out that he loved them enough to talk to them, but he didn't love them enough to actually go ahead and correct them according to the Bible and have them removed.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly.
And that's the point. Right. And when people can read this on their own, but when you read down, the Lord, the Lord brought judgment on him and his house.
Yeah.
And it's no different today. I mean, the scripture says, you know, obviously as the world goes on or whatever, the Lord has increased his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no different today, like when you see kids that's dying from like 14, 15 years old, and they're not bringing up, they're not continuing on that family, that family line.
Yes.
It's no different from, like, even the judgment that the Lord put on Eli here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture says, bloody and deceitful men will not live out half their days.
Yep.
So it goes to the point that when we say loving our children, it has to be done according to the scriptures.
Exactly. Excellent point. That's an excellent point. Now let's go to Proverbs 17.
All right. So, Proverbs chapter 17. All right, what verse?
21.
He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy.
So, well, we know the thought of foolishness is sin.
Yeah.
And foolishness is bound up in a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him.
Far from him.
So, if you either don't try to get that foolish thoughts and understanding out of your child, or you do your best and he makes foolish choices,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be to your sorrow.
Yep.
You know, like there was you know, like if there's someone that what is this? There was a kid, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago. At 24, he got like 30 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But the newspaper article said he had been terrorizing his neighborhood since like 12. He had like a rap sheet
wow.
longer than both our arms put together. He was, you know, mugging old ladies.
Right.
He was robbing people. He stabbed a couple people. Got, you know, that's a long, long bunch of things. And he did a bunch of foolish things. Now, at 24, this is a few years ago, his parents had to see him go to jail until he's like 50-something.
Right.
Is that joyful for a parent to
no,
go
through? No, it's not. Nope. Not
so
at all.
That's why we have to chasten, discipline, and guide our children
mm-hmm.
so that we can have joy in them
exactly.
in the end.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's true, bro. And, you know, and it just mm-hmm. seems to be getting worse. I'm not sure if you
yeah.
saw the story, but it was all over the internet last night. They just convicted a guy, 18 or 19-year-old
uh-huh.
guy in Georgia, for shooting a baby.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the face.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, so when I saw the caption or whatever, I'm like, what would make a person shoot a kid, a little baby, in a stroller or whatever? So I read it, and apparently he was robbing this lady, whatever, wanted a purse and
yeah.
threatened to shoot her and the baby.
Yeah.
He didn't give up her goods or whatever, and he ended up doing it. And now
yeah.
he's convicted,
yeah.
going to jail for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So how does the father, if his father even is even around,
mm-hmm.
of that person feel? Because he's a fool. He's a fool for doing what he did.
Yeah.
So a parent is not going to have any joy because now you're going to have to go through all the security gates and all just to see, you know what I'm saying?
Once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while, your kid. What kind? Yeah. What joy is in that? There is none. So that's the importance of dealing with these scriptures with our children. That's loving our children, teaching them what the fear of the Lord is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yep. Right. Yep. This is what's joyous. Let's go to 2 John.
All right.
About children. 2 John, verse 4.
All right. 2 John, verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father.
Okay. Yeah, so that's joyous.
Yes, it is.
And John was writing a letter saying, listen, I'm hearing about this.
Hmm.
You know,
yep.
it's joyful to see little kids being right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, instead of you going to the mall and you see a whole, you know, random section of kids, like, man, that kid just don't understand it, you know, that parent don't understand that they should, oh, man, that one's going to be a terror.
Hmm.
You know, it's a joy
yep.
to see a kid being raised right.
Exactly.
Okay, now, let's go to Romans 1
all right.
and see where we have to start from. I'm sorry, Romans 3. I got the book right now. I'm just messing up the numbers lately. I'll be all right. It's bad when you got it written down and you still say the wrong chapter. But Romans 3, 10 and 11.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God.
That's where we start from.
Yep.
That's where we start from. You know, and that is the condition that we're all in because, what, we've gone over classes before about how other scriptures in the Bibles that we all have point out that we've been destroyed as a people, not even knowing who we are, where we came from. And that we serve idols of wood and stone, and we're the minorities wherever we are, and we are under a bunch of curses from the Lord as punishment, mm-hmm. chastisement for our sins against him.
Yep.
So there are none of us that are good. That's where we have to start from.
Exactly.
But what we have to do is we have to, I'm going to try to go over like two or three scriptures right quick. Psalms 19. Okay, and verse 7.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
So we have the law and the testimony to have the light in us. Isaiah 8, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what does this law and testimony do? The law is perfect, the testimony is sure, making wise the simple. So it helps us seek after wisdom. Wisdom, which is the performance of the law and the testimony, is nothing more than finding out what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to want to find out what's right so that we may, what, not only live right ourselves, but be able to raise our children right.
Exactly.
So that they won't give us sorrow.
Yep.
In their end, so that we may have joy of them in the end. Now, for the last scripture we're going to go to, we're going to, I'm going to reference the 1611 King James,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go into the Wisdom of Solomon,
okay.
chapter 6.
All
right. And we're going to go read verse 12.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, and verse 12. Wisdom is glorious, and never fadeth away. Yea, she is easily seen of them that love her, and found of such as seek her.
Okay, so wisdom is never fadeth away. It's from the Lord.
Yep.
That's the wisdom we're talking about. We're not talking about the wisdom of Roland Blunt's or a wisdom of foolishness or anything. We're talking about righteous wisdom. Okay? It's easily seen of them that love her and found as such as seek her. What did Christ say? Knock and it shall be open.
Yep.
Seek and ye shall find.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Read verse, let me see, 17.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 17. For the very true beginning of her is the desire of discipline.
The desire of discipline, not only for yourself, but of your children.
Yeah.
Because we all want to do things. We all think to do things
mm-hmm.
and say things that are not convenient or that have no good consequence.
Yeah.
All right? And read on.
And the care of discipline is love.
And the care of it, the non-malicious, the administration of it, according to as it is written, is love. So that discipline, and according to as it is written, that's how we love our children.
Yeah.
And it's for what? So that we'll have hope in them, that they could raise up and teach the kids after them the same thing,
mm-hmm.
so that they would set their hope in God. And remember, Paul set his hope in God, believing all things written in the law and the testimony, law and prophets, well, same thing, so that he would, that because he believed that the Christ would come back at that day and mm-hmm. set the kingdom up.
Right.
So read on, read verse 18.
Wisdom of Solomon 6, verse 18. And love is the keeping of her laws. and the given heed unto her laws is the assurance of incorruption.
So what is it? What did Paul say again? We are in a race where we're seeking a crown of incorruption.
Yep.
We're not seeking a corruptible crown. Look, I got a medal. I got a golden cookie for running around the track the fastest. You know, or whatever it is, or I'm kissing the Super Bowl ring, or whatever. You know, that's nice as entertainment, but that's not how we should live.
Mm-hmm.
We should seek the incorruptible crown.
Yep.
All right? Read on.
Solomon chapter 6, verse 19. And incorruption maketh us near unto God.
So that's how we make ourselves near to God. We have to purify, because what? Psalms 19 also says that the statutes of the Lord are right. Wait a minute. I don't want to butcher it. Because it mentions purity right there. We almost read it.
Yeah.
8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So now we're talking about, we get that the desire of discipline, which is the care of that is love. The love is the keeping of our laws, the obedience,
mm-hmm.
right? And the giving heed to the laws is the assurance of incorruption. Incorruption is making us near unto God. Mm-hmm. So now, read verse 20.
Wisdom of Solomon 6, verse 20. Therefore, the desire of wisdom bringeth to a kingdom.
So now, that's how we get that salvation.
Yep.
Okay, and that's the same salvation that Paul was looking for in Acts 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's like, listen, I'm looking for that day, looking toward that day. And I hope that, you know, that by my exercising myself constantly and not offending God or man, I am able to do this because I believe that how I should deal in all situations is outlined and specifically mentioned in the Law and the Prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So did you have, so we got time.
Yeah.
Something else?
The scripture that says, righteousness exalteth a nation. I know it's in Proverbs.
Is that in Ecclesiasticus?
Nah, it's in Proverbs. But there's another one that I'll go through real quick. Speaking about wisdom, let's go to Proverbs 4.
Okay.
And I'll read verse 7 for me.
Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
So the scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. So we explain that the wisdom is not the wisdom of this world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not knowing how to roll a blunt. It's not going to any of these prestigious universities thinking you're going to get the wisdom from there. That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
The true wisdom comes from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it says wisdom is the principal thing. That's the main thing, the chief thing.
Mm-hmm.
It says, therefore, get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
All the scriptures that we went over today about loving our children, raising them in the right way,
mm-hmm.
Beating them with a rod of correction,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
wisdom. Get that.
Mm-hmm.
Get that wisdom. Yes. And it says, with all thy getting, get understanding.
Yes.
What's the understanding that it's talking mm-hmm. about? It's talking about you applying the wisdom that you've heard or that you've read.
Exactly.
Out of the Bible. So get that wisdom, and with all thy getting, get that understanding. Apply now what you've just read or what you just heard.
Exactly.
That's what the scripture is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That okay. Yep. We got time for one scripture. We could go to Luke. I believe it's in Luke where he was at the temple.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And you know, there used to be bracelets 13 years ago, WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, when people started investigating what Jesus would do, those bracelets quickly disappeared. But Christ is our example about what we should do. And what did he do as a child? Let's look at, I'm going to set this up. When Jesus was 12 years old, his family went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast of the Passover. So They went with a great troop of family,
mm-hmm.
and they celebrated the feast, and then when they left, they thought he was among the company, and they went and they traveled back to Jerusalem looking for him, and then they would they looked for him 3 days, I think it was. Yeah, verse 46 of Luke 2.
Yep. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers.
Okay, wow. So he's like, man, this cat got some understanding.
For a little kid, yeah.
Okay.
And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?
Okay, skip to 51.
And he went down with them and came to Nazareth.
He went back home with them.
And was subject unto them.
And was what?
Subject unto them.
And it, the kid was, to his parents, he was what?
Subject unto them.
Okay.
But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart.
Okay, so his mother was like, yo, why is this cat, he went, what does this mean about he be about his father's business? What is it? But she was, hey, she was joyful when she found him.
Yeah.
He was in doing what he was supposed to be. He was about obeying God's word and trying to increase his understanding.
Exactly.
And exercising himself therein. And with that, I'm pretty sure that we're just out of time. We're just about out of time, right?
All right, so we give all praises to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ for giving us another chance and another opportunity to come again another week to go over scriptures with our people. The topic that we're going to discuss today is the path to God and salvation. The path to God and salvation. That's the topic that we're going to cover today. And the first scripture that I want to look at, or the first question that we want to ask is, does anyone have a personal relationship with God? Because you have a lot of people that think that way, that they have a personal relationship with God. So that's the first question that we want to look at for this topic. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 59.
Okay.
And start at verse 1 and read verse 2.
Okay, Isaiah. Excuse me. Isaiah 59, starting at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear.
Stop. So again, the topic is the path to God and salvation. So in Isaiah 59 verse 1 it says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. That's what we're talking about, salvation. He's saying the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. So the Lord is willing to write, to work with us and give us that understanding that we need so that we can obtain the salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But what is the problem? Read verse 2.
Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
So, verse 2 says, but your iniquities, meaning your sins, have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So, all of us are sinners, right, in the eyes of God. So the question, does anyone have a personal relationship with God? The answer is right here. It says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And then the funny thing about it is, when you look at people today that claim they have a personal relationship with God, you can see them in all committing all kind of iniquities and all kinds of sins,
mm-hmm.
right? But those sins have separated
between us and God, and between them and God, the ones that's claiming that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, skip down to verse 12.
Okay, Isaiah 59, verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them.
So it says, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Now, check this out, right? This was the Lord dealing with the Israelites at the time when they were in their homeland. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that their transgressions are multiplied before thee. And we're going to see that it's a continual thing, because from way back when till now, it's the same thing that we're reading about,
mm-hmm.
the same problem. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. We just keep sinning and adding sin upon top of sin, but yet and still we claim that, some people claim that, they have a personal relationship with God, and our sins testify against us.
Mm-hmm.
Sin and transgression is the same thing. To sin, meaning that you're going against the laws of God. Some of the holidays that have just gone by, like Thanksgiving, some of the ones that are coming up, like Christmas,
uh-huh. yeah.
people are going to be celebrating these days, and when they celebrate these days, they are sinning in the eyes of the Lord. So those are sins that we have to look at and say, okay, those are the sins that are what? Testifying against us. Because even a lot of us, we even know that those days are pagan and that we should not be into those days. We know them. Some of us know the other sins that were coming mm-hmm. also, the fornication, the adultery, so on and so forth. We know them. Read down.
Okay, on the 13?
Yep.
Okay. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood.
So in transgressing and lying against the Lord, so we're breaking his commandments, lying against the Lord.
He said this when he didn't say it.
Exactly.
Come as ye are.
Exactly.
You know?
And these are the same people that claim they have a personal relationship with God.
Exactly.
Right? Departing away from our God. Speaking oppression and revolt, meaning what? To turn people away.
Mm-hmm.
Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Oh, mm-hmm. God gave me a dream last night to tell the people.
God told me that you supposed to come to this meeting next week. What is that?
Yeah, exactly. That's falsehood and that's a lie. You know, but these mm-hmm. are the same people that claim they have a personal relationship with God. So read 14 through 16.
Let me speak out one thing.
Yep.
It says speaking oppression and revolt.
Yep.
That's talking about, you know, speaking words that oppress the people. And also it's talking about revolting against the governments and stuff, the powers that be that the
right.
Lord ordained. So
yep.
if you see cats on YouTube raising up and speaking about we going to kill these people and F the government and all this other stuff, they're doing this right here.
Yeah, exactly.
They're transgressing by speaking revolt.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and they need to turn from that. So I'm going to read verse Isaiah 59 and 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter.
And judgment is turned away backward. This is what the Israelites did from way back when, and it's progressed through the years and
mm-hmm.
have only gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't carry out the judgment of the Lord. They didn't take care of the fatherless. They didn't
widow,
so on and so forth. Take care of the poor that was in the land, so on
mm-hmm.
and so forth. They didn't do any of those things. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Nowadays, what we call evil good and good evil. When we bring out scriptures like, okay, you know what, two men should not lie with one another like how two women, like a man and a woman, lie together.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you can't say that because if someone, if two people really love each other, you know, they have a right to do whatever it is that they want to do, and we're living in modern times now.
Well, you know what? That's the speaking, oppression, and revolt, because you bring a spin on the people and you're revolting against the words of the Lord.
Exactly.
And what he has set up.
Exactly. So read down, read 15 and 16.
Isaiah 59, starting at 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment.
Okay, so this is what the people were doing when they were in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Truth faileth. They didn't want to do his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
It's when, like, when he says, you know what, if you use an example, man, you failed that class. you flunked it.
Yeah.
You didn't do it.
Yeah.
You didn't live up to the standards to get a passing grade.
Exactly.
So this is what the Israelites did from way back when, and it just progressed and continued on.
Mm-hmm.
And it displeased the Lord that there was no judgment. So the Lord was upset that there was no judgment. Read verse 16.
And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him.
So, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered there was no intercessor. So, in another scripture, it says that the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that were righteous and any that doeth good.
Yep.
No, not one. All are turned away backwards. All have done evil and wicked.
Yeah. And Paul quoted that in Romans 3, I believe it is.
Exactly.
And he was like, he quoted several scriptures where the Lord was pointing that out.
Exactly. So it's the same thing. The Lord saw that and is like, you know what? There was no intercessor, no one there to step between him and the people. Therefore, his arm brought salvation. Who was that salvation that his arm brought about? It was Jesus Christ, which is what we're now going to get into. And his righteousness, it sustained him. Christ's righteousness, the way how he was. He brought us back, or he's going to bring us back now to the Heavenly Father. So we can't get it any other way. We can't go to God directly. The path to God, like I said, is a title. We can't go to him directly. We can't come through some other man, some other religion, some other philosophy.
Yep.
Now it has to be done through Christ, because it's him that the salvation is coming through. Skip down to verse 20.
And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And the Lord don't change, right?
Exactly. No,
okay.
He don't.
I'm just wondering.
Because it says, and the Redeemer, Christ, shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression. So is he coming back for everyone?
No.
Just for the people that turn from transgression.
In Jacob,
in Israel, the Israelites. In another scripture, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the sheep is that all belong in the sheepfold of Israel.
Yeah.
So it says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression. So we're seeing from way back here till now that what? God said, you know what? Your iniquities have separated between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we were. That's how we continue to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only path back to him and to salvation is through Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ that's written about in the Bible.
Not the Jesus Christ with the parade wave and a peace sign and, you know, giving out free healings and stuff like that with the long hair and the clean robes and the stuff that you see in the paintings and that was celebrating Christmas and that got bunnies and Easter eggs rolling around him in the spring. That's not the Christ that's in the Bible.
Exactly. Nope, not at all. So now, let's go from there.
Please read verse 21 so we can just kick all the New Testament-only people in the head.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, bring it up.
Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Who is the them?
The Israelites.
No, it's the ones that turn from transgression in Israel.
Yep.
As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, And my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of the seed.
Of thy seed, yeah.
Of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So all the prophets
mm-hmm.
and the true preachers that he's raising up,
right,
that to help people turn from transgression in Israel and that are turning themselves and fighting the fight, the same words
mm-hmm.
that are going over in this Old Testament and from the beginning, like Peter said in Acts,
yep.
from Abel on down have prophesied of this day.
Exactly.
All right? So, and then another place he said from Samuel on down.
Exactly.
It's always going to be the same words that we have to obey.
Exactly.
Forever.
Yep, and that's a good point. So now, let's go from there to John chapter 10 and read verse 9.
Okay.
So the path to God and salvation. Let's see.
Okay.
Read John 10 and 9.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture.
So, if you have a red edition Bible, this is Jesus Christ himself talking.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I am the door, the same Redeemer that we read about in Isaiah 59. This is who it's talking about.
Yeah.
He says, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. So, how do we get salvation and how do we get back to the Father? Is it through some other religion, some other philosophy, being into Islam, being a Buddhist? Oh, you know what? I'm going to be a Buddhist because I like their principles. You know, they teach you humility and they teach you this, that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, some other religion. Oh, I'm going to do yoga. You know, it makes you more spiritual and this and that, blah, 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 so on and so forth.
Well, I'm getting with the lost found Creat Nation, bro.
Or whatever new thing that they come up with, like
whatever new thing it is, that's really old wickedness.
Exactly. Or another thing is people have such affinity to their so-called religious leaders that whatever it is that their so-called religious leaders tell them to do, they do it. And forget the Bible.
Nope.
Forget the Bible and forget what Christ said. They go by what their leaders are telling them to do, whether it be an Israelite group, their so-called elders tell them to do something, and they just doing it without
checking
in regards to the scriptures, whether it be someone that goes to church that's seduced by this wicked pastor and the things that he's bringing out that's not according to the scriptures in Christ, thinking that they're going to get salvation that way. But we're seeing here that they're not. Because Christ says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Mm-hmm.
That pasture that it's talking about, it's making a reference to the sheep. So the sheep goes out and the pasture eats.
And get that nourishment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the
growth and everything. Growth and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're going to be if we deal with the true Christ that's in the Bible and not comes through some other way. So now, let's go from there to John 14 and 6. This is also going to bring it out again.
Okay.
He's going to say it again. This is, if you have a red edition Bible, this is Christ talking. Let's see what he
uh-huh.
says.
John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
So he's saying, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the word is embodied in him, he is the word, and the life. That's how we're going to get that salvation and eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember we read in Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated between me and you. He said that from way back when, and it stands. You brought out the point when you read in verse 21. You asked me, does the Lord change? I said no.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. He doesn't change. So
exactly.
From way back when till now, it's the same thing. He's not changing. We cannot go to the Father but through Christ. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what he's saying. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So again, you cannot get it in any other religion, any religion, period, any philosophies of men, any traditions of men, through your own mind, you cannot get it. You cannot seek God through your own mind mm-hmm. and skip over the understanding, the true understanding of Christ and going through this man. Because he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's through Christ, the real Christ that's in the Bible, mm-hmm. is who we have to go through. Now, let's go from there to Acts chapter 4.
Okay.
We're going to bring the point out again. Okay. Acts 4, read 10 through 12.
Okay. Acts chapter 4, starting at 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel. Wait a minute, Christ died already?
Yep.
Okay, Christ went up into heaven in Acts 1 about 10 or something like that, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay.
So everything was supposed to have changed.
Supposedly, but remember we read in Isaiah 59 and 21, my covenant with them?
Yeah, that was those that turned from iniquity in exactly. Judah and
yep.
Jacob.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm just, you know, just trying to make it clear because
sure.
sometimes this pinpoint of understanding escapes people
exactly.
because of what they've been taught and heard exactly. over and over and over and over and over again. They start
exactly.
to believe they start to believe things over and instead of what the Bible points out.
Exactly. Yep.
Acts 4 and 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Okay, so be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who they crucified by this man stand here whole, because they had healed a man that was impotent, it says.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It says, this is the stone it's talking about is Christ, which was set at naught of you builders, the leaders at the time, and the people, they rejected him. It says, which has become the head of the corner. Christ is our leader,
mm-hmm.
not any other man.
Yeah.
Then it says, neither is there salvation in any other. Remember what we read in Isaiah 59. The Lord saw that there was no judgment. Truth faileth. There was no man there. There was no intercessor. Then his
mm-hmm.
arm brought forth salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that salvation through now? It's through Jesus Christ. You
yep.
cannot come or get salvation through any other religion or philosophy, or any religion or philosophy, because, yeah, people say that. Well, you know what? I know there's many different religions and many different things. You know, you guys, you believe in God. You know, you get together on Saturdays and these people over here, they get together on Sundays, but we're all worshiping the same God, the same Christ. You know, it's the same thing. We're all trying to get to the same place.
Really?
You know how many times I've heard that? We're trying to get to the same place.
Yeah. Hey, Oprah said it on TV. Remember that famous clip? Oh, there's many paths. We're just getting to the same place.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah,
everybody in the audience was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? But people
yeah.
say it to us
yeah.
and to themselves like they're
exactly.
not crazy.
Exactly. Yep. But the scripture is saying, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So
mm-hmm.
is it through Haile Selassie? Because that's another doctrine that got people tricked and fooled. Right? He is the only begotten of God and the one true and living God, the Lion of Judah, and
really?
This and that, and blah,
really?
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
where is he now?
Well, to them, he's not dead, but he's
dead. Where is he if he ain't dead?
Yeah,
Where is
that's a good question, exactly.
He's sitting on his, where is his throne?
Exactly, yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's a good question, because that's what people believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but there is no other name whereby we must be saved except through the one and only Son, begotten Son of God,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, as written about
mm-hmm.
in the Bible. Let's go from there to John 5.
Okay.
And we're going to read mm-hmm. verse 39.
Okay.
And people should pay attention to this, because the leaders at the time, the scribes, they were known as the scribes and Pharisees.
Uh-huh.
They taught the laws to the people. They believed, they said they believed in Moses. They revered him. Right?
Well, they revered him as long as it profited them.
Exactly.
As long as the contributions kept coming in,
exactly.
They feared Moses. But whenever they had a chance to, they was being wicked as all get out.
Exactly. And those same people thought that they were okay. They were going to get salvation, and they're going to get it some other way. Because
mm-hmm.
even in that, Christ gave a parable with the two that went to pray,
yep,
the one
yep.
a Pharisee and the other
yep.
regular guy, whatever.
Yep.
And the Pharisee was like, "Listen, man, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men."
Yeah, especially like this poor cat over here. It ain't God nothing, and you know, I fast twice a week, and I give all
right.
this loot, and I do this, and I do
right.
that. It was a Levite, actually, you know.
Oh, it was a Levite. Yeah,
and then the poor man smote up the
right.
Samaritan.
Right.
He wouldn't even come up to the altar to pray. He stood afar off back and was like, "Please have mercy on me, a sinner."
Exactly.
You know.
Yep. So, for people that thinking like that, pay attention to this. Read John 5:39.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
So search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. So you think you're going to get salvation any some other way, because
mm-hmm.
you have people that believe in these different philosophies and different things or whatever, and they read the Bible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they think they're going to get salvation, but Christ is saying, search the scriptures, because in them, they testify of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they testify of Christ, not any other man, not Haile Selassie or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They testify of Christ. So that's what we have to look at,
mm-hmm.
realize, and understand.
Yeah.
So the last scripture,
mm-hmm.
let's go to Mark.
Okay.
7.
Okay.
And read 6 through 9.
Mark 7, starting at 6. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me, this people,
mm-hmm.
exactly. honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me."
And that's how we are, man. We love to say, "Oh, I love God, I love Christ," but our heart is far from him, because we're not doing the things that he requires us to do.
Exactly.
Read on.
"Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do."
That's what we have to look at. So if we're not going according to as it is written, we're in the doctrines and the commandments of men, and we're worshiping him in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, call 877-871-1711.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archived broadcast or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe. Take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Tune in to From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you're seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 8 o'clock p.m. And after you have listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are in Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/TheBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at TheBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ.